I wonder what it would look like if we could give all of our people 10% of the year off, giving people some time to rest and recover and restore themselves. I think is very, very important. I think any sized company can do it unless you're just one person there. And I don't know of a single funeral home that has only one person.
Welcome to FD Talks, the forward-thinking podcast created to help funeral professionals run their business and serve families. Join us as we discover important funeral and death care topics, gain incredible, dependable, and valuable information to help your business succeed in a rapidly changing environment. Hello and welcome to FD Talks. I'm Rob Davidson, and today we're going to talk about something that's really special, and that is sabbaticals. It's no secret that funeral professionals are overworked, overstressed, and at times overwhelmed by the demands of caring for families. But what if your funeral home could provide a way for your funeral professionals to rest and regain their strength? We invited Chris Seal, President and CEO of Funeral Directors Life, to come and share his recent sabbatical experience with us, how he's able to offer more than 500 employees a 30-day sabbatical, and how you can do the same for your funeral home. Chris, thanks for being here with us again for another episode of FD Talks. We're excited to have you on.
It's great to be back. It's been a while, so yeah. I'm pretty excited about this.
It's been 30 days. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, let's talk about it.
So you've been off. Let's talk about the past 30 days. What have you been up to?
You know, it's crazy. I mean, anytime you take off for 30 days, as I did for sabbatical, our company sponsored sabbatical, and you have plans that you make, and you really think you're going to achieve those, but it never really turns out that way. It's like we say around here. You never get the sabbatical you really planned. You get the one you need. And however, this time I planned to have a little more alone time because of everything that's happened since 2020. Obviously, we had the COVID experience, and then we had massive growth in our companies. All of our companies just grew crazy over the past few years. And so, I have to admit, man, I came up toward the end of the year, probably mid-November, actually, and I was tired. I mean, just pooped. And so I made the decision that on this particular sabbatical that I really needed to focus on rest and kind of recharging the battery and being prepared to come back and really, really hit it the way I want to hit it. And so I am 100% rested. I don't know, some of our people may not like the fact that I am because, it's time to go to work. I'm ready to do it. So I'm pretty excited about where we are right now. But yeah, I just did a lot of rest. I went away to a resort and spa kind of thing, and it was crazy. It was in Tucson, Arizona, and it snowed in Tucson, Arizona, which I think it's only snowed like three times in history, and I've been there two of the three times that it snowed. So it's kind of crazy the way that happened, but it really caused me to not do everything that I had planned to do, and I think that was just part of being able to sit back and relax a little bit. And my wife and I got to spend a lot of time with each other, and so that was the focus. I did a few other things, but that was the focus of this particular sabbatical.
So I'm trying to get my head around this, as probably a lot of people are. We're talking about a sabbatical, but in the corporate world, how does that work? How did you get the idea for that?
Oh, man, it was crazy. I'm going to go back in history a little bit to 2008. And that's when, we had the financial crisis.
Oh, yeah.
And the financial crisis occurred. And, man, it was scary. And a lot of the companies that are in our profession, insurance companies and financial services companies, had issues. In other words, they had a lot of investments that they had to write off, and it was just a problem for them. However, for us, it turned out not to be a problem. We had to write off two investments, but as far as affecting us financially, it didn't. And in fact, we made money in that year when virtually every insurance company did not.
Why was that?
Because of all the write-offs that had to occur because of bad investments. And so we never got off into any of those investments because the investments that were bad, because we were restricted by our investment plan. And it's an investment plan that we started 20 years before 2008. And so we had followed strictly this plan, and even though there was a lot of temptation to invest in these other instruments that companies had problems with. We didn't because our plan didn't allow that. And so it really helped us. So based on the fact that we were not damaged and hurt by the financial crisis, I was reading, actually, the John Maxwell Leadership Bible. And I came across a chapter in Leviticus that talked about the Sabbath years and the years of Jubilee that the Jewish people were supposed to celebrate. And when I read that and I read John Maxwell's summary, I said, man, wouldn't it be great if we could take Sabbath years, you know, every 7 years, take time off to kind of get ourselves back together. And as I was thinking about that, I was thinking, you know what? I really need to do something that would show God, tell God thank you for what he had done for us. Because the way I view it, Rob, is it wasn't anything that I did personally or anyone here at the company did personally to cause us to have a great financial or investment plan that caused no financial issues. It was God's hand, and I felt like he was on that the whole time. And I know that may sound strange to some people, but it's one of those deals where I don't have any other explanation for why we weren't affected poorly by the financial crisis. So based on that and based on my reading, I thought, you know, I wonder what it would look like if we could give all of our people 10% of the year off, like a tithe, right? And so that just kept occurring in my mind, and I kept trying to talk myself out of it because I didn't think it was possible. I thought it would be impossible to do. But I have a group of friends that I get together with, at the time I would get together with on Saturday mornings, and I thought, you know what, I'll throw it out to them because it's crazy, and these guys are kind of crazy, and we'll see what they have to say. So I threw it out to them, and they said, oh, Chris, you got to do this. This would be incredible. And still, I was not convinced I should do it. So I decided to take it to our executive management team because we meet every Monday morning. So the next Monday morning, I came in and I said, I got this wild idea. I need to tell you guys about it. I need your feedback. So I told them about it, and I said, hey, this is the deal. I think we should give every person here a sabbatical plus an additional week of vacation and give them 10% of the year off. And I thought everyone would be against me on this.
Talk me out of it.
Yeah, and I was hoping they would, really. And they didn't. They said to a person, they said, we have to do this, which that blew me away. But then I thought, well, there's one more thing. You know, I'm kind of like, you know, throwing out the fleece to find out what I really should do. So I went to the board of directors, and I knew they'd say no because they were composed of, you know, ladies and gentlemen who are a little older and not really focused on bringing things of the Lord into the business. And so I thought, oh, you know what, this is going to be a great thing for me to throw out to them. They'll say no. So I went to the board and I explained to them the idea and the concept. And to a person, they said, you have to do it. So that was confirmation to me right there that this was something we had to do. So back in 2010, we had our first sabbaticals. And in my first sabbatical, me personally, I took a 11-day trip to India with my pastor and one of his associates. And we went and did some encouragement to some Indian Christian pastors who had been under persecution by some radical Hindus. And that just really impacted my life. It was an incredible experience. It's too much to explain on this episode, but I tell you, it was life-changing for me. And I saw so much of that happen in 2010 as people took sabbaticals. And just so you know, Robin, you know this already, but we don't force people to take sabbaticals. It's an opportunity because we understand everybody's not in that place where they feel they can be gone or they have kids and they have situations and in their lives that they can't do it. So we don't want to force that on anyone, but we want to give people the opportunity if they choose. And so I took that, and again, it's so funny because our chief financial officer, she said, Chris, you have to go first or no one will believe that we're doing this. So I did, and I did spend my time in India there, and that was crazy. Then in 2017, I actually worked with a service here in town called Loving Care Ministries, which I worked in their kitchen, which they offer breakfast and lunch to people who are homeless or who are what they label as working poor. And man, that was, I was going to spend a week there, and I loved it so much I spent another week. So again, these are just things to open your eyes. So, you know, I focused kind of out of the country or whatever on my first one, and then I focused here locally. And then this particular sabbatical, because of the fact that I'd been through COVID and we all the decisions that had to be made then, it was so crazy. And then just the growth that we had, and I was so tired that I said, you know what, I need to focus on rest and see if I can get myself back to an energy level that I need to be at. And it worked.
So I guess the question I would have then is, we understand from a leadership perspective how this was, you know, perceived, but staff level, what was their response? What kind of feedback did you get from telling everybody in the company that they get an option to have 30 days off?
Well, you know, everyone was elated with it, you know, initially, and because I go back to 2010 when we first did it, and everyone was just excited and was very interested in the opportunity. Now, you know, you have to understand there are strings attached with a 30-day sabbatical. Okay. So let's talk about the strings. I think the number one and probably the most difficult is getting 7 to 9 hours of sleep per night. The next is having an hour of prayer or meditation or quiet time for an hour a day. Reading a book, which a lot of people struggle with, reading books, but I felt like that was something that God laid on my heart. Doing some type of devotional or reading of the Bible during that time. And then also, if you've got a relationship that needs to be repaired, that you would commit to doing that. And then on top of all of this, we said you need to blog or let us know what's going on, journaling for at least 4 times while you're away to let us know how things are going. And, you know, our people were up to that task. Interestingly, though, and I think this is where it comes in, and this is what I really found out. Number one, we as leadership had to have faith that this would work out. Because a lot of my supervisors and vice presidents had trepidation about it, because how are we going to let people off and still get all the work done, right? So we had to have faith that we could get it done. And here's what's interesting. When someone goes on sabbatical, all the people who work in that department or work around that person step in to ensure that all the work gets done, so that the person, when they get back, doesn't have, you know, a ton of stuff to do, or they're way behind or whatever. So they would step up. And interestingly, we would plan these around seasons. I mean, for example, our accounting department has a season in January, February, and March, because we have to do end of year reporting. There's a lot of filings with departments of insurance, and they just simply can't be gone. So they have to structure their sabbaticals after that. So again, my point is, you got to look at seasonality. You have to look at the amount of work that has to be done. You have to look at who can step in and help while someone's away. But all in all, it works out. But one of the main things we learned from the first one, Rob, is we have to have no new projects. Our company can't afford to start a new project and have a lot of people focused on that new project with people gone. And so we've made a commitment just to have no new projects. We didn't in 2010. But because of the lesson we learned, we established that procedure in 2017 and now in 2024. And I think that helps us a lot and helps our workload a lot, not to be in excess, but to just be normal work that hopefully everybody can pitch in, help out, and you know, make sure that a person doesn't get so far behind. And we found that that actually occurs, and that the people who are, quote unquote, left behind, they really get the work done and are happy to do it, to allow that person the time off that they need to kind of get themselves back to a good place.
Yeah. I know I've personally overheard conversations that you've had, and I've heard you even with other companies, with funeral homes, different people are going like, Chris, how do we do that? And they've asked you for advice. I know you've said a lot of those things. Are there some other things that you think would be good advice for anyone who wanted to implement something like this?
I think for the funeral profession and for funeral homes, you know, there are a lot of small funeral homes. There are a lot of middle-sized funeral homes. And it is more difficult. However, we know there's seasonality to the funeral business as well. That's number one. And just like we have seasonality here at the office, so do they. I think when one person is gone, you know, you can find help to assist you with that one person, or part-time help or whatever that can help you through that season. But I think, and this is the strange part, and again, people may or may not understand it, but I think God rewards this type of thing. It's a sacrifice. It's showing faith that things can get done. And I think the biggest problem that most of us have who are leaders of businesses is we think the business can't exist without us. And the thing that I've learned the three times that I've now gone on sabbatical, and particularly this year, is this business does pretty well when I'm not here, which is humbling to say I'm not near as important as I think I am. And I think that's tough for any business owner, and it is for funeral home owner, to say I can be gone for 30 days and the funeral home won't burn down. Well, I'm here to tell you it won't. You know, and again, but it takes planning. Let's say you have, you know, two or three or four members on your staff. You know, you spread that out and you remember the seasonality of the funeral service and you make sure that you're structuring it so that someone can take off one person, not all of them in the same month, but you spread it out over time and you ensure that you're getting the work done, that you're taking care of families. And you're taking care of the work that needs to be done, yet you're allowing your staff to have some time to rest and come back. Because funeral service is hard, man. Emotionally, it's hard, and physically, it's hard. And, you know, it can be a drain. And giving people some time to rest and recover and restore themselves, I think, is very, very important. So as far as I'm concerned, I think any sized company can do it unless you're just one person there. And I don't know of a single funeral home that has only one person. You know, they've got part-time help, or they've got assistants, or they've got the guy down the road who's their friend who can help out. And I found, this is the funny part, I found that our customers really respect the fact that we're doing it. And they're willing to bear with us while we go through a sabbatical year. And they appreciate and value the fact that we're doing it. So I think that serves true with families and with other customers that a funeral home may serve. So that's just for me. I mean, again, I may be off, but I think it makes sense.
You probably, I know that, you know, as a part of this organization, I've seen payoff in that. And I'm sure you have too, as far as when people are kind of changing out of their daily roles to cover other things, it's really a good opportunity for people to shine and to take on more if that's what they're, you know, it's a great environment and a culture, yeah, for emerging leaders, I think, too.
I agree, because, you know, the thing I hear is, like, when I was off, I had one of my people who took on some of my responsibilities say, I didn't realize you did so much. And I was pretty happy about that, honestly, because, you know, I do have my list of things that I have to get done and approvals and so forth that I do as in our business. Because, again, you're right, Rob, we do have a larger business today. I mean, we have, you know, close to 500 full-time employees with full-time contractors and everything. I think we're over 530 now. So we've got a lot of people, and we've got to juggle a lot. We're even allowing our contractors to do this. And our select producers, who are professional salespeople, but they're employed by us, we're allowing all of them to do that and to go on these sabbaticals. And because we think it's that important, we prioritize that, and we want our people to take advantage of this opportunity because we do think it's valuable, and we have seen results that have been absolutely incredible. And the effect that it has on those people when they come back is even better. But you're absolutely right. I mean, people substituting in and helping is the way this all happens, and they do it because they know that they're going to get to go on one later if they chose to do so.
Well, Chris gave us a lot to think about, and I'm really glad he offered his thoughts on the importance of rest. Thanks again to Chris for joining us, and I really hope today's episode helped you reflect on how providing a sabbatical can help your funeral home and staff find peace and successfully serve families. Thanks for watching and listening. We'll see you next time. If you would like more information about today's topic or previous discussions, please visit us online at funeraldirectorslife.com/FD Talks. There you can find information about this podcast and submit any comments, suggestions, or feedback about our series. We also welcome your ideas for future episodes. Listen to FD Talks wherever you get your podcasts.